Welcome to Men of Scarlet and Gray Live, our eighth episode of the year. As always, your host, Josh Schott. And we got a great show today. Appropriate to start off the show with another one bites the dust. After all the upsets in college football this past weekend, it was absolutely nuts, crazy, and entertaining to watch. And we're going to have a lot to talk about in this show. Ohio State's big win over Maryland, the Big Ten this past weekend. And we're going to have a roundtable discussion with our special guest to join us here. And as always, our normal Men of Scarlet and Gray writers, Shannon Summers. You can follow at on Twitter at SMSOMMERS84. Shannon, how are you doing today?
Doing better than this morning. I'd like to apologize to my fellow writer, Chip Minich, for trying to take all the credit for calling that Purdue upset.
That's okay. Apology accepted.
And Chip, you can follow him on Twitter at Chip Minich. Chip, how you doing?
Doing well. And looking forward to a further discussion of Ohio State football and college football in general.
And Andrew got to witness the Buckeyes in person beat Maryland this past weekend. Tailgating, you can follow him on Twitter at Bucknut22. Andrew, how's it going? And how was your tailgating experience in College Station?
Hey. Guys, how we doing? First off, the tailgating was great. You know, I was able to spend the afternoon with my sister. We got there around 7:30, met up with a fellow viewer. I'd like to give a shout out to John and his wife Jennifer. We had a good time tailgating with a bunch of Ohio State fans. College Park, it was a great atmosphere. It was a nice stadium, and overall it was just a great time, you know, watching the Buckeyes kick some butt, and It was fun.
Well, it was great to hear, and thank you, you guys out there watching, and we really appreciate it. We have three guests on the show. Two haven't showed up yet. We're hoping they show up here later in the show, but we have one guest, Joe Dexter, co-editor and podcast host for the Buckeye Battle Cry. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Dexter. Joe, great to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Great to be on, and I don't know what bites the dust more. Is it Brady Hoke in the fourth quarter or after a box of donuts? I'm not quite sure which one.
We're starting early.
Hey, I'm doing great. We're talking Brady Hoke. I'm doing great. And Buckeyes.
I agree 100% with that. This is what happens when the Michigan blogger doesn't join on time. We get to throw out jokes. So I hope you're ready out there, everyone listening. We're going to start off our first topic, of course, Ohio State's big win over Maryland on the road, the first Big Ten win of the season. Ohio State won the game 52-24. JT Parrott looked great again. As always, threw a bunch of touchdown passes. He's getting better every week. The secondary still has some holes in it, but it was overall a pretty dominant win for Ohio State. Got an OHIO chant going on the road. Joe, what's your thoughts on the Buckeyes' win on the road over Maryland?
I mean, the first thing that impressed me offensively was seeing the playbook open up a little bit more for JT Barrett and just being able to continue to run the football the way they did with Ezekiel Elliott and company. It's good to see that the offense can progress week to week heading into the Big Ten schedule, and to be able to do it against Maryland in pretty good fashion, minus maybe some goal line play calling. Really good play calling in this one offensively. And defensively, man, that front is going to be tough to play against all year for any opposing team.
Yeah, that defensive front, that's another part of the team that just impresses me more every week. Joey Boza is he's an animal. I mean, he's an animal. He will destroy your quarterback. And I marvel at him every week. Shannon, what's your thoughts on the Buckeyes win over the Terps?
I thought it was outstanding. I mean, they only gave up 66 yards rushing. Excuse me. And they were great on third down conversions, 8 for 14. Their defense was great, only giving up for their third down conversions, 5 for 13, which is, you know, a big improvement from, you know, the Virginia Tech game. They're looking, you know, 533 total yards, like Joe said, opening up the playbook. And, you know, they started off that game, marched down the field, first couple of possessions, scored some touchdowns, looked really impressive. I love the fact, like you were saying, about the OHIO chant going out throughout the stadium. Maryland, don't boo it. Just enjoy it. It's going to happen. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the Big Ten.
Yeah, so that definitely for sure. If you're a Big Ten, Rutgers, you should expect the same thing when we play at Rutgers. So that's not until next week, though, with Rutgers. They'll be playing at the Horseshoe, of course, against the Buckeyes. But, Chip, what were your thoughts on Ohio State's win?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said so far. I mean, there's so many positives to list from Ohio State's victory over Maryland, the continuing maturation of JT Barrett, Ezekiel Elliott's emergence as Ohio State's primary ball carrier, the development and the cohesion of the Ohio State offensive line, the Ohio State defense is becoming more opportunistic with the interceptions that we saw against Maryland, and the defensive line, we already discussed Joey Bosa, but Michael Bennett had a great game. That's becoming stronger. So Coach Meyer's still not happy with the defense, but the defense has been improving, as Shannon just said, and will get better for the stretch run that begins October 18th against Rutgers. And if the biggest gripe I have is I would have preferred seeing more of the backups like Cardell Jones, Rod Smith, Bryante Dunn, the rest of the backups, then you know I'm grasping at straws and just being nitpicky.
Yeah, that's definitely a grasping for straws there. I agree with everything you said there. Andrew, your thoughts, you being at the game, what you saw.
All right, well, the first biggest thing, being at the game, after Darren Lee had that interception and the Buckeyes went down and scored a touchdown, JT came literally sprinting like right back to the defensive bench, and started screaming at Darren Lee. It was awesome. Oh, it was like electrifying. All the fans just started getting hyped up, and he was like, "That's all from you, man." Like, he was just like screaming at him. Like it was. I really can't even tell. Like JT is like a redshirt freshman. He doesn't show. He's showing good leadership, and you know everything's clicking now. I mean, the defensive line is getting good pressure. And the Buckeyes are just looking a lot. They're getting better and better every week after that loss to Virginia Tech. So,
yeah, Barrett, he just continues to impress me as well. I mean, he went 18 of 23 for 267 yards and 4 touchdowns. You can't ask for much better than that. He also rushed for 71 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, every week he just continues to get better and Braxton Miller was great, but Barrett is slowly making me forget about the loss of Braxton, even though Braxton's a great player. I'm glad to see Barrett growing into the role and the role of a starting quarterback on the team. Ezekiel Elliott, of course, as you guys mentioned, he had another great game, rushed for 139 yards. He didn't get a touchdown, which surprised me. I forgot about that. But he rushed for 139 yards. The other guy really impressed me for Ohio State, kind of stood out, was Michael Thomas. He had 4 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. And your guys' thoughts on – I thought the receivers played a lot better in this game.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, Michael Thomas, you look at what he's done so far this year, he's like 4th on the team or 3rd in all-purpose yards on a team that has all these H-backs that do everything for you. So what he's been able to do to step up in that role, get the starting job, and now that beautiful 25-yard play, that was just fantastic.
Yeah, he's another one. I hope they continue to get him the ball, because when you get the ball in Michael Thomas's hands, you know something special is probably going to happen. And Corey Smith, he also had a better game, I thought. But you guys, Shannon, Chip, Andrew, your thoughts on the receivers?
They're making it easier on JT with not less drops week to week, which is good. Also, where's Devin Smith been? I don't know how he.
He had 2 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown.
Okay. So I mean, yeah, we have so many receivers. It's good. They can't really target on one because there's so many people that they got to worry about now.
Yeah, they had 9 receivers. They had 19 catches.
Maryland.
So I mean, no, we did, or for Ohio State did.
Yeah.
So I mean, JT spreading the ball, you know, around pretty well, and he's. Which is really good to see.
Yeah, it's great to see more names get involved in the offense. Of course, Jalen Marshall and Dontre Wilson and Jeff Hierman and Nick Minette. There's all kinds of weapons all over the field for Ohio State right now. They're firing on all cylinders offense. I have to ask you guys one more question before we move on the Big Ten scores. The secondary, your thoughts on that? Because even though they had some holes, they did have four interceptions on Maryland quarterbacks, including three on Caleb Rowe. Do you see improvement?
I see a lot of improvement, even though that that they gave up that one long pass of 60 yards. I think that was in the fourth quarter or something like that. But you kept Stephon Diggs in check. He only got 52 yards, and Deion Long, he only had 57 yards. I mean, they only averaged 10.2 yards a catch, which is pretty good comparing to what happened with the Cincinnati game. So, I mean, it wasn't outstanding, but it was a, marked improvement. And I think it's just, coming off a bye week, you got a bye week this week, so you're going to be able to work on even more. So, and I think that these last 2 weeks, these are the best two receiving cores that you're going to see. So, I mean, until the Michigan State game, it's just going to get better. I'm happy in the direction it's going.
I thought Von Bell played really well in this one, and Apple played pretty good. You get those guys starting to mold together. They're very young, so getting the opportunity to play against some of these great receiving cores such as Cincinnati and Maryland's only going to make them better, and you like to play those. You like to have that happen in non-conference in your first Big Ten game to get that type of molding together. I think that they're going to be just fine down the stretch, and they're going to work their way into talk of being an Ohio State secondary once it comes down to the end of the season, I think, and heading into next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the secondary and really the whole team, every week you just see them taking steps forward. I really think by the time we play at Michigan State November 8th, it's got to be a whole different team because, I mean, you see the chemistry coming, then the players coming together every week that they're playing better and better. So, the Buckeyes are improving every week. They keep on winning, and with all the chaos around college football, you never know what's going to happen as long as Ohio State keeps on winning. So we're going to move on to the Big Ten, how they did this past weekend. We'll run over the scores, get your guys' thoughts on that. Purdue beat Illinois 38-27. Chip and Shannon, you were right, so congrats to you on that. On that exciting football game. Indiana, beat North Texas 49-24. Northwestern went and beat number 17 Wisconsin 20-14. I have no idea what's going on with the Badgers. I have no idea what's going on with Northwestern that game. I didn't see it, but it looked pretty crazy to me from when I looked in. Rutgers beat Michigan 26-24.
No surprise there.
Continues in Ann Arbor, and the ranked matchup of the week in the Big Ten, Michigan State held on to beat Nebraska 27-22, even though it was a beat down from this game, and Sparty almost wanted to give it away there at the end, but they held on with an interception as Nebraska was driving deep into their territory at the end of the game. So your guys' thoughts on how the Big Ten did this past weekend. We'll start with you, Joe.
Man, Tim Beckman might be asking Coach Hazel for a spot on his coaching staff next year. It's not looking good in Illinois, and it keeps going downhill, and you like to see Purdue get that win. I think that it's interesting to have the competition that we did this week. I like seeing Northwestern going in and beating Wisconsin. Melvin Gordon killing everybody like he does, but still Northwestern finding a way to win. It makes you wonder where they sit in the whole spectrum of things, and everything's all confusing as it has been, but whatever. It was still a good week of football, I thought.
Yeah, Northwestern sitting undefeated in the West. That never would have saw that one coming.
Surprising.
It's crazy. Chip, what are your thoughts on the Big Ten?
Well, I'm happy for Coach Daryl Hazel and Purdue with the victory over Illinois. I agree with Joe that I think the Tim Beckman watch is on full effect after that loss. But I'm also happy for Austin Appleby, who's an Ohio player from North Canton, who Purdue inserted at quarterback. So I'm very optimistic that Coach Hazel, if given enough time to develop and implement his system, that he'll get Purdue developed, or I should say, become a solid team once again, like they were in the Joe Tiller era. And you know, we talked about Indiana and Northwestern coming back to life to make the Big Ten West competitive, and Wisconsin, they just have to that their quarterback situation is threatening to derail what appeared to be a very promising season, considering the way that their schedule was laid out. Wisconsin's really, I think, in a quandary. And getting to the whole, you know, Rutgers-Michigan game, Michigan definitely played better offensively than in its previous games against Utah and Minnesota. And some might say they were the victims of a controversial officiating call near the end with the reception that was ruled to be incomplete. But I think ultimately you have to give credit to Rutgers for coming up big with the field goal block at the end of the game that sealed the victory for Rutgers. Rutgers and Ohio State are both on bye weeks this weekend, and that game in Ohio Stadium on October 18th should be a really good one.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Appleby for Purdue. His stat line for the game, he's 15 of 20 for 202 yards and a touchdown. So it looks like the Boilermakers finally found themselves a quarterback. So I believe it's their third win of the season now. So you never know. They could sneak into a bowl game with the way the Big Ten's playing out this year. Of course, Illinois is also 3-3. So you don't know what to expect, like you said, with the Big Ten. Andrew, your thoughts on the Big Ten's weekend?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised about the Northwestern game. I think Rutgers was able to get a good win, so that's going to be a game next weekend, hosting Rutgers. And the Michigan State game, I'm happy to see that Michigan State beat Nebraska, because we, as Buckeye fans, definitely want to go at East Lansing against a one-loss Michigan State team. So It was a good weekend of college football.
Definitely. Shannon, you want to chip any more thoughts on the Big Ten?
Yeah, the controversial play, you know, if it was a catch or not a catch.
Michigan-Rutgers game, right?
Right. Being a Browns fan, I've learned over the years that one play, you know, isn't a make it or break it for your game. It's a bunch of other plays that's a make it or break it. Allowing your, you know, instead of going for it on fourth down and trying to kick a 54, 56-yard field goal, you know, against a team that has been historically number one in the nation against block kicks, you know, field goal kicks, that was a bad call on Hoke's part. So, you know, that's why it's going to, you know, you're going to see him getting fired here pretty soon at the end of the season. Very surprised about Northwestern. I mean, and it's not so much that surprise about Northwestern. It's the biggest surprise is the situation with Wisconsin. You know, they put Stavi back in there, and their quarterback controversy that they got brewing there is they've got a serious issue going on.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy for Purdue. You know, like we've been saying for a couple of weeks now, you've been seeing small steps coming out of Purdue where they've, you know, improving, and Hazel's got that program going in the right direction slowly but surely.
Yeah, Hazel's, they're improving every week. It's great to see for that program. I'm glad you brought that up about the field goal call. Hoke, I don't get that call. I just don't get it. Like you said, Rutgers is annually great at blocking kicks every season. They're very good on special teams, and that's just, unless you got Mike Nugent as your kicker, or that guy from Maryland who bombed that one kick, I don't see the point in going for that field goal.
I couldn't see the play downfield. Like, that's what it was.
I just went for it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know where the ball was placed at. I didn't know it was going to be a 56-yarder. Nobody told me.
Maybe you should put a headset on.
I'm going to clap and it's going to magically go through the uprights.
Speaking of clapping, did you guys see that there is a website?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I saw that.
But, yeah, you're going to see Brady Hoke wearing a headset next year when he's standing at McDonald's. Can I take your order, please?
With no arms crossed at McDonald's. They get fired from that, too.
Michigan is a mess. We'll get to that in a second with that situation there. First, we got to talk about the crazy weekend in college football. It was all kinds of top 25 teams went down. I'll run through them real quick. Oregon was upset on Thursday night by Arizona by a touchdown. BYU went down to Utah State. Mississippi State crushed Texas A&M 48-31. It wasn't as close as the score indicated. I remember watching that game. Northwestern, of course, upset Wisconsin. Ole Miss shocked everybody by beating Alabama at home 23-17. TCU upset Oklahoma by 4 points at home against the Sooners. Notre Dame grinded out a win over Stanford. Auburn crushed LSU because LSU is in the top 25 team. USC lost by 4 points on a last-second Hail Mary to Arizona State. Nebraska, of course, lost to Michigan State. And Utah beat UCLA at Pasadena by 2 points. So after all this chaos, there's certainly a lot of shakeup in the top 25. You guys, I'm sure you guys cut a lot of these games. Your thoughts on all the craziness in college football? We'll start with you, Joe.
Well, you know, Hugh Freeze is just like, it's crazy how he's done what he's done there. And, like, pretty much he got the job just by chasing around the coaches at Ole Miss and saying, please give me a job, please give me a job. And now he's turned into a recruiting mastermind. He's doing well there. And, you know, anytime a guy named Bo Wallace steps back and beats Alabama, that's all right in my book.
Yeah, I really didn't think Bo was going to be able to keep it together for the Rebels, but They pulled it off. I mean, I was really shocked by how bad Alabama played. Of course, they lost Kenyon Drake, the running back, to a brutal injury in that game. It was kind of hard to watch. That was a shocking upset for sure. Shannon, your thoughts on all the craziness?
Well, the one that I enjoyed was, and it wasn't really an upset, but is the USC-Arizona State game, the Hail Mary for Arizona State to win the game. You're in the back, you know, that Hail Mary, and I don't know if it was the linebacker or the defensive back standing there waiting for the ball to come to him. And instead of trying to jump up and knock the ball down, Arizona State wide receiver just plucks the ball out of the air right in front of him, like, thank you very much, and goes in for a touchdown. It just.
It's pretty mind boggling.
It was like, all right, whatever. But, Michigan, how does it look getting rid of Rich Rod now? I think that's funny that, you know, I think it's kind of strange that Arizona jumps up to number 10 in the polls. But, I mean, you know, hey, undefeated, you knock off Oregon, whatever. You're going to end up losing to somebody. But, it was nice seeing the whole state of Mississippi they actually, you know, I don't know if there was a stat or anything, but that might have been the first time that the state of Mississippi actually won, like, all their games in the SEC at the same day.
That was, like, one of the biggest days in, like, Mississippi sports history.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Chip, what chaos game did you like?
Well, I liked them all. This weekend demonstrated...
Good answer.
This weekend demonstrated why college football is my favorite sport to follow. You know, for example, I watched Ohio State defeat Maryland, and then my daughter plays volleyball, and she had a volleyball game in the afternoon. And fortunately for the Minnick household, we were able to get home in time for me to be able to sit on the couch with a beer in hand and TV remote in the other hand to continually switch games between Notre Dame, Stanford, Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas Christian, Oklahoma. And this weekend, the games that are coming up this weekend, you've got games like Auburn, Mississippi State. You've got Oregon, UCLA. So the mayhem, Josh, the way you referred to it as the chaos, the mayhem may just be beginning in terms of all these games.
Yeah, it's going to be another great slate of games. We're going to get to those games here later, picking them. I mean, it's going to be about the same way. I was doing the same thing around 3:30, Chip, just flipping around all those awesome games. I couldn't keep up. It was really, really fun to watch. Andrew, I know you were at the Ohio State Maryland game, but did you catch any of those chaos games?
Oh, yeah. I rushed my sister to get back to school, so I didn't miss any of the game. I got back probably around 4:30 or so, or around 5. Yeah, no, around 5. Mm-hmm. And I was able to catch the Notre Dame-Stanford. That's the game I was watching. The Irish, obviously, you know, they came back with a late touchdown. That was an exciting game to watch. It was funny. I was talking on the phone with my grandma as it happened, and she was like, "Oh, did you see it happen?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I got it on." That game was exciting, and then I was able to watch the Michigan State Nebraska, and that was a good game overall. You know, it was a great week of football. I mean, everyone knows any weekend, any team can beat anybody. You know, so this year is going to be exciting.
I was watching the whole day. I mean, I couldn't keep my eyes off the TV. I even stayed up for Utah UCLA. I don't know if you guys stayed up for that one, but it was UCLA, I believe, at the end. They were attempting to kick a field goal to it would have won the game, actually. And it was about, I think, a 55-yarder, if memory serves me correctly. And they it was from the left hashed the hash line, and they kicked the kick, and it went wide right, and of course the Pac-12 referees, we all know how great Pac-12 referees are. They threw the flag there for running into the kicker. The player for Utah just basically rolled into the kicker, and the kicker pulled off a fantastic acting job. They give him the kick again 5 yards up, and he still misses it. But Pac-12 refs almost tried they tried their best to prevent that upset, but that was a really fascinating game there. I couldn't get to watch. There was another game. It wasn't an upset, but it was just crazy. I don't know if you guys heard about it. It was Cal Washington State.
Oh, my God.
With all those dang points and Holiday for Washington State threw for over 740 yards, breaking the record. It was just
– Yeah, they had like what? 800-some yards on over 800 yards of offense and still lost a game.
Washington State's field goal kicker missed a 19-year-old field a 19-yard field goal at the end.
Man. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's why their special teams coach got fired.
I think it was also, correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, didn't Washington State, besides missing a 19-yard field goal, give up 2 kickoff returns to Cal?
Yes. I'm looking here now at the stat lines here. The third quarter, Trevor Davis returned a 100-yard kickoff and a 98-yard kickoff within 3 minutes of each other. And Cal's quarterback, Jared Goff, threw for 527 yards and 5 touchdowns. Connor Holiday was 49-70 for 734 yards and 6 touchdowns. And rushing-wise, their leading rusher between both teams had 61 yards, so it was all passing and kickoff returns, of course. But and Washington State's hard to believe. They're a 2-4 football team, and they look a lot better than a 2-4 football team, especially when you can rack up that many yards. But it was a crazy week in college football. You just never know what you're going to get with it. That's why I love college football. It's my favorite sports to follow, like as you said, Chip. We're going to move on now to our next section of our show here. The coaches are on a hot seat. Of course, we're talking about Hope. We're going to talk about him separately after this. But who you guys think is on the hot seat right now and has a good chance of getting fired? We'll start with you, Joe. And across the country, it doesn't have to be just Big Ten.
I don't think he's on the hot seat right now, but Oregon's head coach, man, if he doesn't get things together, they're gonna be after him. I don't think that he deserves it, but they'll be after him if they don't continue to play the way that they expect. I mean, come on, it's crazy how good this team is when you look at it on paper, and but they don't ever get it done. They always lose to Arizona. They lose to a team they shouldn't. So I see that. I see Helfrich as a guy that might be on the hot seat. As weird as that sounds. I maybe at the end of the year, but when you look hot seat, you got to look at Tim Beckman in Illinois, and it's just the program is just falling apart in front of him.
That seat's sizzling.
Oh, that seat's cooked.
Oh. He's out. He's definitely out. Helfrich, that's an interesting one you throwing out there for Helfrich. That's a good point that you bring up. He always seems to crumble when he seems to have these teams that are. Should be in the national title conversation, then they end up playing like the Sun Bowl last year. But Yeah, and then their offensive line is just horrible. The Ducks' offensive line, they were letting Arizona get in the backfield almost seems like every other play. But Shannon, who do you think's on the hot seat?
Well, of course, you know, because it's Urban's fault. Will Muschamp down in Florida.
It's definitely Treon Harris did that.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know. Yeah, he's definitely on the hot seat there. I don't know. I'm hearing talk, and I don't know how true it is or not, but our buddy Burt might be on the hot seat over there in Arkansas.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because he's not doing very good in the SEC.
I don't know. He's been pretty competitive, I thought, this year, but that's news to me. I haven't heard about Bielema.
And then
You know another name to watch is Larry Fedora at North Carolina. He's struggling. The seat is probably hotter for Burt than his.
A few technical difficulties here. We'll get back to you, Joe, if you can hear me. Chip, who do you think's on the hot seat?
Well, I mean, the usual suspects have been named.
It was hot.
We talked about Tim Beckman. I wouldn't be surprised. I know, you know, we're going to talk about Brady Hoke in greater detail momentarily, but it wouldn't surprise me if Tim Beckman was fired first, just because I think Illinois is going to probably want to try and get a jump start on the coach search. And Shannon mentioned, you know, Will Muschamp down in Florida, and I'm speculating if Will Muschamp loses his job that they're going to go. Florida will probably go after Mississippi State's Dan Mullen.
Yeah,
that would be the primary target for the Gators. And again, I realize we're going to talk about Michigan and Brady Hoke in greater detail. The hottest seat has to be, I think, Dave Brandon, the athletic director at Michigan, because I cannot imagine why any coach would want to go to Ann Arbor with everything that's swirling around Dave Brandon up in Ann Arbor.
Oh, just have a Coke and a smile.
Two Cokes for a ticket.
Joe, we lost you there. What was the point you were making? You got cut off there. We'll let you finish your point.
Well, I was just saying, you know, the hot seat is probably hotter for Bert than it is his wife is hot, so there's something there.
Karma.
One thing, getting back to Bert, in all seriousness, is that buyout from Arkansas is pretty substantial. So I haven't heard any rumors of him being on the hot seat, because just ask the good people up in South Bend or out in Kansas what it must be like to be paying a coach for doing nothing, because both of them are writing considerable checks to Charlie Weiss. So I'm not sure if Arkansas, after everything they went through with the whole Bobby Petrino debacle and John L. Smith and everything, I think they'll probably give Bert a little bit more time, but that's just my suspicion.
Yeah, the buyout, I just don't see them doing that. They got to give him another year or two, I think. Much crap as I give Bert, he's not a bad coach. I think he's improving Arkansas. But karma could come back to get him, though. But one thing I would like to see is Arkansas-Wisconsin in a bowl game. I hope the bowl organizers make that happen. But, Andrew, what coaches do you think are in the hot seat?
For the Big Ten, you know, Hoke's been on it for a while, and after Illinois lost Beckman, his seat's getting hotter. And for the SEC, I see Will Muschamp. His seat's getting a little hotter after because Florida's not doing too well. Those are my three main coaches I have on the hot seat.
Yeah, I just I think another one maybe to throw out there. I know he's improving them, but if he does this if he continues to lose games this year, I could see Butch Jones at Tennessee possibly, because they had that game won against Florida, and they let them come back and win it. I think Jones is maybe one to watch, and glad you brought up Fedora. That was another one I was going to mention, Joe. He doesn't get the job done there in North Carolina. They got crushed by Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech's been playing like crap other than against us, of course. But, another one maybe to watch out for is maybe Dave Dorn at NC State. They got crushed by Clemson 41-0 this past weekend, which shocked me after they nearly upset Florida State. I just don't know if he's got a pan out there for them. But, yeah, you guys pretty much mentioned all the main candidates. I just don't see how Muschamp or Beckman are going to make it with their jobs by the end of the season. So we'll move on to the hottest coaching seat in the country to talk about now, Brady Hoke up in Michigan, Mr. Clapper. He's pretty much foregone conclusion. He's gone. Brandon, you think, would be gone, but you just don't know. Who do you guys think is the most logical, likely candidate to replace Brady Hoke? We'll start with you, Joe.
Charlie Weiss.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't be... That's not serious, but... it's interesting because I think that they're going to want to look and get the job done right away, but I think they're kind of fascinated with the whole NFL idea. I've heard some interesting names because being born from Michigan... Don't kill me, people. But I was born in Michigan, and I got a lot of friends from Michigan that are Michigan fans. They want Pat Narduzzi to be the next coach. I've seen that on my Facebook timeline, so that's a little interesting. But I think that they're going to go back and try and find somebody that can run the football. We were joking at the Buckeye Battle Cry this week. How great would it be if Burt went back to the Big Ten and coached Michigan? That'd just be fantastic.
Oh, man. Oh.
Don't think it's going to happen, but...
That would be awesome.
And don't feel afraid about throwing out Charlie Weiss. I got some names down too, like Mack Brown, Lane Kiffin, Tyrone Willingham. I think those would all be stellar choices for the Big Ten. John L. Smith, I hear he's not doing anything. But Shannon, who do you think most likely? I like the Narduzzi choice. I think that would be a good choice for Michigan. I think that is a logical choice for him. It depends on how much of an allegiance he has to Sparty. But Shannon, who do you think is a choice for the Michigan job?
Well, I'm going to, based on what I just pulled up here, hold on a sec. I hate pop-ups. There's a report out there that the 49ers are not going to be retaining Jim Harbaugh next year.
Yeah, I saw that, but I heard it was based on Randy Moss.
Well, I haven't read the whole article. If Jay Glazer's reporting it, then, you know, there's probably some truth to it.
Which Harbaugh were you talking about? Jim?
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh was not going to be coming back to the 49ers next year.
I saw a tweet from Jed York, who's like the CEO of the 49ers, and he said, "That's our coach. We're not getting rid of him. That's our coach." So I don't know how much you put into that, but I even think Michigan would rather have John Harbaugh than Jim. I think they realize that Jim is kind of a whack job in a way.
And yeah, I agree.
And they need somebody to come in. They need a Michigan man like Brady, but that actually has some coaching credentials.
I think John would be a good choice for them. I mean, I know John's come out and said that, you know, he's happy with Brady Hoke being there and whatnot. But I think John would actually be a good choice there. He's done everything he's done, you know, in the NFL by winning the Super Bowl. And it seems like with everything that's gone on with the Ray Rice case, and there was another case where, you know, he's basically gone to Ozzy and hit the ownership and everything and said, "Look, I don't want to play these guys. Let's cut them." And everybody said, no, we got to keep these guys. I don't think he's happy in Baltimore anymore. You know, he's being forced to, you know, keep these guys, and then all of a sudden this whole Ray Rice situation is basically blowing up, and he's standing there on the sidelines like, "Look at this dysfunctional mess," when he could probably, you know, in his heart he does probably want to go to Michigan, turn it around, and turn that into a contender.
I just don't see it with the Harbaughs, because if you're another NFL team looking for a coach, why wouldn't you pick up one of the Harbaughs? And why would Harbaugh pick Michigan over an NFL team, considering the mess in Michigan? Even though they have a lot of pride about their school, I'm sure. But why would they? Why would you, if you were one of the Harbaughs, turn down the NFL for Michigan?
You might have more control in the college program than you do in the NFL program. You know, you get more say with your players and such. If somebody does something, you can, you know, you get more say as far as discipline and stuff. And you can go and recruit the players that you want and get the team assembled that you want instead of somebody basically saying, this is who you're going to have, this is who you're going to, you know, play with. That would be my thought.
Well, the other point, too, would be worrying about them going to the NFL. Every year, like when coaching searches turn up for the NFL, them leaving Michigan.
Yeah, but I mean, look at how many coaches have gone, you know, from college ranks to the NFL and back to, you know, college. I mean, some of them have been successful and some of them haven't. I mean, Saban's, you know, he's gone, what, he had like a 2-month stay or something like that in the NFL or something, but he's gone back. And I mean, they're still losing players to the NFL and stuff, but he's enjoying college more than he likes the NFL.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it's one of those things with the Harbaughs, I'll believe it when I see it. But Chip, who do you think?
Well, I think a lot of good points have been made, you know, about the Harbaughs, and something that, you know, to keep in mind about Jim Harbaugh is he may be a more likely candidate for the Oakland Raiders job because he's a former Oakland assistant, and I've read back, you know, again, this is, you know, previously, not recently, but Jim's wife wants to stay in the Bay Area, and that's why when the 49ers job came open, it was perfect considering the whole Stanford situation. And something that needs to be stated as it relates to either of the Harbaughs, and it doesn't matter if it's John or Jim, is that they're both under NFL contract to both their teams. And just a little quick history lesson, back in 2002, Notre Dame fired Bob Davey, and they were very interested in having John Gruden as their head coach. And they approached John Gruden. Well, the Raiders said, we're not letting you out of your contract. The same thing happened. Notre Dame wanted to talk to Steve Mariucci, and the 49ers said, we're not letting you out of your contract. The fact that Miami allowed Nick Saban to leave for Alabama, the Dolphins were not under any obligation to allow that to happen. So just because the Harbaughs may want this job, they might not be able to get out of their NFL contract. It's just a completely different set of circumstances. So that's why I agree more with Josh. I'm not sure if it's feasible for Michigan to pursue an NFL coach. I think either of the Harbaughs would do a tremendous job up there. But, you know, I mentioned earlier, I think that Mississippi State's Dan Mullen would make an intriguing choice at Michigan based on the fact that former Urban Meyer assistant, you know, the fact that, you know, he's been successful. Maybe he sees the kind of the ceiling, if you will, about at Mississippi State versus at Michigan, what he can realistically do and compete. I don't know. I think, you know, Les Miles, obviously his name's going to be continued to bandied around, but it really won't matter until Dave Brandon is removed as the athletic director. I mean, I think all the speculation is good, and it makes for good, you know, good rumors and everything. But until Dave Brandon has been removed as the athletic director at Michigan, it's really difficult to see anyone even wanting that job.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I think it was GregHenson.com that I read from last Tuesday. He said that there's, you know, a big political fight going on up in Michigan. And that the Regents want Brandon and Hulk fired. And they pretty much, you know, are saying, look, we want them both fired and we want them gone, but we're not going to do it. They're saying to the new president of Michigan, you've got to do it. It's your job. You even though that you're new on, you know, you're new to the university and everything, it's your job. You got to get rid of these guys. President's saying, look, I have to evaluate everything, blah, blah, blah. Regents are coming back saying, look, if you don't fire them, we're going to fire you. So it's looking like that Brandon and Hoke are both going to get fired if the Regents get their way. And usually Regents get their way.
So the alumni get their way too.
Right. Yeah, so the names at the athletic director, we talked about this before. UConn, the athletic director, his name is Ward Manuel. former Wolverines player who was injured, but Bo Schembechler always had maintained a favorable impression of him. And Boston College, Brad Bates is the athletic director. Both Bates and Manuel have ties to Michigan. Unlike Brandon, they have extensive experience as athletic directors. When the way that Dave Brandon is running it as a business, that's the big turnoff. Right. I mean, we were joking about the whole, I have a Coke and a smile, I have two Cokes and a ticket thing, but that's the fact that you have an incompetent or overmatched coach. That's, I mean, it's just basically fuel for the fire, so to speak.
No, you're right. And when you can't get your student section to come to the games, you're losing future alumni to help support your program. And where does your donor money come from? Your future alumni. And if you're going to sit there and keep, blasting them and, raising their ticket prices and raising prices for the concessions and everything like that, where the students can't afford the stuff, in order to be able to put money in your pocket, because I think from what I've read, and I might be misunderstanding this, but I think it was John U. Bacon came out and said that in the 4 years, it's like an increase in salaries for the athletic departments from $100 million to $150 million or something like that. And they're trying to figure out ways to be able to afford all this, and so they're raising prices on everything. And when your students can't afford it, and they're feeling alienated, or former players are feeling alienated, you're not going to get this money in here. Yeah, you might have that billionaire Stephen Ross who runs the Dolphins organization sinking money into it, but how much money is he actually going to keep sinking into it when he sees it's a losing cause?
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up. The problems at Michigan are cumulative. I mean, with the raising the prices, the strict rules from what I heard sitting in the stadium and such, this has really been snowballing for years until finally it's reached a point here where the students and the alumni and the regents have had enough and they want to change. Andrew, who would you throw out as a logical coaching candidate for Michigan?
Like everyone said, definitely one of the hard balls. And the last logical one I could see is Pat Narduzzi from Michigan State. I think those are like my top three I could see really happening. But so he's gone after this year, definitely.
I'm going to throw out a candidate nobody's thrown out yet. He's a former Big Ten coach, has plenty of experience. He actually went to a Rose Bowl in the past decade in the Big Ten. I don't know if you guys know who I'm talking about. They threw it out at mgoblog.com even. Ron Zook.
Blast from the past.
They didn't seriously throw it out. It was a satirical post. They actually spelled, and when making his points, he spelled out Benghazi. So
that's funny.
I would say, I mean, in all seriousness, and I'm not sure, I think, Josh, you mentioned Butch Jones possibly being on the hot seat, and I hadn't heard that one. But Butch Jones at Tennessee, I think he's kind of in that Daryl Hazel mold of, all right, he's slowly but surely turning Tennessee around, and he's done granted with oversigning, but he's done a great job of upgrading the talent at Tennessee. But he was a born and raised Michigan native. So in my estimation, the names like Dan Mullen, Butch Jones, Pat Narduzzi, those would be better targets because they're college level. Nothing against the Harbaughs. I think they both do a tremendous job. I just think those NFL contracts are not going to be as easy to walk away from as people presume just because Nick Saban was able to do it back in 2006 to go to Alabama.
Narduzzi, I really think, is the most logical choice for them. I really think they should go after him because not only I think he'd be a great head coach for them, but they would love to stick it to Michigan State by doing that. They would absolutely love that. And I think Narduzzi would go with enough money, enough power, I think he would split to Michigan. But one other name I want to throw out, it's half serious, half joking. Do you think they would consider Lane Kiffin?
I do not. I just can't see that. I don't see how after disastrous Lane Kiffin has been in three previous coaching tenures. Keep in mind, the Tennessee job that he had, he not only bailed on them after 1 year, but he was fired from the Oakland Raiders and USC in September of different years. I mean, he didn't even make it through the first month of the season. That's how much how he had alienated Al Davis and Pat Hayden. I just can't see Lane Kiffin fitting in. And as much as I agree with you about the Pat Narduzzi thing making logical sense, I'm just not sure if Michigan wants to turn the keys over to a guy who's never been a head coach. I think all the things that you discussed about sticking it to Sparty, and I think he'd do a great job. I just think that they probably want an experienced head coach before turning over their football program to somebody who's never been a head coach at the college level before.
Might have did it before. Brady Hoke.
Yeah. Has Brady Hoke ever been a head coach?
Yeah, wasn't he at San Diego State and
Ball State?
Yep.
Yeah, but like we said, was he?
Come on now. Hey, you guys could take shots at Mac schools and San Diego State. But keep in mind, Woody Hayes, he was the head coach at Miami of Ohio, my alma mater, before he took the head coaching job at Ohio State.
Same Urban thing. Meyer, Bowling Green.
Yeah, Bo Schembechler at Miami moved up to Michigan. I mean,
Tressel at Youngstown State.
You've got to start somewhere. That's my point.
I'm not knocking Mac or Mount West or Youngstown right. State. I'm just knocking Hoke
because if you look at Hoke's head coaching record, I think he's had I think out of all his seasons, he had like one winning season. And right. All of a sudden, Brandon just jumped on that bandwagon and was like, hey, come to Michigan. You're our guy. It's like, seriously, one winning season? And if you put all of his seasons together, he's an under 500 coach, big time.
Right. Well, that kind of goes back to that whole mantra of the Michigan man is going to coach Michigan. Well, if that's the only criteria you're going to allow, your candidate pool is going to be very, very small. You've got the Harbaughs, so that would eliminate John because he went to Miami of Ohio. He grew up in Ann Arbor and went to some high school in Ann Arbor, but he didn't go to the University of Michigan. He went to Miami. So you've got Jim and you've got Les Miles that are capable, successful, previous head coaches. That's it.
And you're not going to see Les Miles just because I don't honestly think you're going to see Les Miles because of his age.
Yeah, I don't see it with Les Miles with the age. I think he's comfortable at LSU and he's got to ride it out there till retirement. So we'll wrap up. Yeah. We're wrapping up the Hoke choke talk. We'll go with Hoke. Hoke talk up in Michigan. We're going to get on to picking our games now for the week. We'll start with the Big Ten before we get to national. Flip it around from normal. Indiana to Iowa, guys. Who do you like, the Hoosiers or the Hawkeyes?
Indiana.
I see Indiana.
Yeah, behind the running of Tevin Coleman, the best running back that most Big Ten fans have not heard of.
Tevin Coleman's great, and I think Indiana will win. And plus, I'm rooting for Indiana because I want Kirk Ferentz to be fired so Michigan can hire him.
Yeah. You're not going to see Kirk Ferentz getting fired because of his, he's got his that buyout. Massive buyout.
No.
But, I think Indiana's going to win it.
I like your thinking, though, Joe. That's very evil-like. I like that.
Good thinking.
Shannon, who do you like?
I'm taking Indiana.
I'm going to go against you guys. I'm going to take Iowa, and they're going to win it through – somehow, some way, Ferentz has got to pull off some sort of magical trick to pull off this win. I don't know why. I don't feel confident in Indiana. I don't know what to expect from him. I think Iowa will somehow pull a rabbit out of their hat and win this one. But
I was notoriously been playing down to their opponents this year, so, yeah, I don't see it happening.
I think Iowa could win if they have 60 minutes of possession, which could happen.
Moving on, Northwestern at Minnesota, guys. This is actually a pretty big game for the Big Ten West. The winner actually gets a little bit of control out there in that division. Wildcats or Gophers?
I'm going Gophers on this one.
I'm going... that's tough. I'm going Northwestern.
I'm going Minnesota. They had last weekend off, and I think even though I'm happy to see Northwestern is turning it around, I think Minnesota, we discussed it earlier when in our previous podcast when Minnesota took it to Michigan. I think that physical style that Minnesota plays on both lines of scrimmage is going to be too much for Northwestern.
That's going to be a tough game, and it's hard to pick, but I'm going to take Northwestern. Another name to watch out in that Michigan crap is maybe Pat Fitzgerald. He might fit the mix. I don't know.
I like the Wildcats too, Joe. I think they'll go out on the road and pull off the winner of the Gophers. Both these teams, I still don't know what to expect from them. I don't know what to expect from anybody in the Big Ten West, really. But I'll take the Wildcats, I guess. I guarantee this game will go down the wire. Fitzgerald could be a name in Michigan. I definitely could see that. Illinois at Wisconsin. Does Tim Beckman get a big win to save his job?
No.
I don't even know if it would be considered a big win right now.
No.
True.
That was an emphatic no. That was like, heck, there's no way.
No way.
I see Wisconsin pounding the ball with Melvin Gordon, and I think Illinois, they lost Wes Lunt to injury. I think Tim Beckman, this is just another nail in that coffin.
Not just a no, but a hell no.
Yeah, I'm going with the Badgers.
A big no.
Badgers, I think, will roll. Moving on, number 8, Michigan State at Purdue. Sparty rolls, right?
Yeah, Purdue's getting better, but Michigan State's going to use this game to fix whatever ailed them versus Nebraska.
Come on, we got to go for the upset here.
What's this we, Kemosabe?
We need Michigan State.
No, I think, in all honesty, Michigan State's going to roll in this one, yeah.
I think Connor Cook has some stuff to prove, and I think he's going to do it this week.
Sparty, yes. Sparty rolls. Moving on, Penn State at Michigan. Competing with LSU Florida for most unwatchable college football game of the weekend. This barn burner here, guys. It's going to be a real exciting matchup between the Lions and Wolverines. Who do you got in this one? I went back and forth on this.
Even with their poor offensive line, I think Penn State, I think James Franklin is creative enough as a coach to do what he can to move Christian Hackenberg out of the pocket and get the ball out quickly. And, I mean, we kind of discussed earlier, and I know Shannon alluded to it, the rumors that the Michigan student body is encouraging a boycott of the student section to show a gaping hole in the student section for the TV audience. I think Penn State had a bye last weekend. Michigan may not have enough physically or psychologically left in the tank after that tough loss at Rutgers last weekend.
I'm going to take Penn State as well. I wonder, though, who's going to have a higher quarterback rating, Hackenberg or Gardner?
That's a good bet. That one's a toss-up.
Both of offensive lines here are horrible. I think, you know, Michigan's ailments are just, it's more than just their offense, their defense, as much as everybody's saying, oh, their defense is great, their defense is terrible. As Chip pointed out a couple of podcasts ago, Jake Ryan, he is just, he's lost and befuddled. Penn State. I'm going Penn State on this one.
Andrew?
I'm going Penn State as well. I'm really interested to see what happens with Michigan's attendance with this game, because they asked Hoke about it during an interview, and he was like speechless.
The most bogus streak of 100,000 or bogus streak, what was it, sellout or 100,000 or whatever?
Yeah, 100,000.
Yeah, that's funny. One of those bogus streaks in sports. Yeah, this one's gonna be ugly. I'm going to go Penn State just because, as you mentioned, Shannon, they're broke everywhere in Michigan. Not only just broke physically, but psychologically, that team's not in a good state.
Well, they just lost their, what is it, Green. He's out for the year with a broken...
yeah, that hurts, that.
Clavicle.
Yeah, what a good player they had.
Well, actually, he wasn't even their best running back. And that's the sad thing. I mean, they tried saying that he's their best running back, but if you watch some of their games, they kept trying to, you know, keep him as their number one running back. He really wasn't their number one running back. But yeah, with him being out and... wasn't there some kind of rumor that they're giving tickets away in or in Canada?
Yeah, it's not a rumor. It's a Groupon up in Toronto.
Oh, no.
I'm being completely serious.
That's awesome.
I didn't click on it. I just saw something. Go ahead with that.
Yeah, there was a Groupon ad up in Toronto that they were trying to, you know, like a round trip. Oh, you know, like you can come to Michigan Stadium for – It was around like $200. You know, it was like one of these things where it's like a bus and a ticket and a, you know, I have no idea, but it literally was a Groupon ad. And they ran Groupon ads, they being the Michigan Athletic Department, they ran Groupon ads all throughout the summer. That was kind of the joke, that really you have to run discount right. Groupon things to get people to come to your games.
And that's what's made a lot of the season ticket holders extremely mad. They're paying this outrageous fee, and now all of a sudden you're going on Groupon and giving away, you know, discount tickets just in order to get people in your stands. Why should we pay, you know, this outrageous fee for you to give tickets away?
See, this just further proves that Brady Hoke belongs in Ann Arbor. I mean... he uses Groupon to buy Krispy Kremes, and they use Groupon to sell tickets. It's perfect.
Yes. Yes. Thing is, giving away tickets for free, would you guys take them?
Yeah, heck yeah.
I don't know. I can't bear to watch those atrocious...
It's the ugliest colors. The ugliest colors.
They're going to be wearing those weird lampshade... I don't know what kind of jerseys this weekend as well.
Remember
those hideous jerseys that they are going to...
with stripes.
The striped numbered jerseys that Adidas is making them wear. They're going to be wearing blue on blue with those... Like I said, it's just a... I don't want to call it a comedy, because if it was a comedy, I'm not laughing. I mean, it's just a tragedy of errors, everything.
Schadenfreude.
I have no problem seeing a Shakespeare play. I don't know about you guys. Richie's, they're fine.
I'd go with Joe. I agree with Joe. I'd go for a half, and then the second half I'd go to some bar and just bust some Michigan fans' balls about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's too bad that you guys weren't up in Ann Arbor last week, because you could have bought a couple Cokes and then you could have gone to the game together and then mocked the Michigan student body at a nearby bar. Maybe Joe would have been generous and he could have bought a box of Krispy Kremes to drop off at the coaching box.
Well, you know, I would.
Oh, man.
Then sit down and have a one-on-one with Brady.
Hey, if Brady. He shares one donut, I'll be happy. I mean, just give me one.
You might lose a finger.
One,
but I was laughing. Three, I was listening to the MGO podcast. And they were talking about with Katy Perry or whatever her name is, and that little pink outfit that she had on for College Game Day, that they should make somebody's uniform a pink like that. And they were picking out schools, and I don't understand that they weren't putting a correlation with Adidas and Michigan, that the perfect – and it, the way their team's playing right now, it'd be perfect that Michigan would have them powder purple or powder pink, you know, puffy uniforms. I think that's the way to get the fans and the young kids into Michigan football again.
Get Denard back on campus, because he throws corn dogs too.
All this talk of Krispy Kremes is making me hungry for him now.
That'd be nice.
I love
this podcast sponsored by Krispy Kremes.
You heard that, Krispy Kreme.
Free marketing.
We'll let you be a sponsor. Move on to the national games. We'll quickly go through them real quick. Texas against number 11 Oklahoma. Sooners rolling this one, do you think, guys?
Yeah,
they've
Charlie Strong's gotten the team getting playing a little bit better, but I don't think I see Oklahoma rebounding. I think I've seen Phil Steele tweet out that Stoops hasn't lost a back-to-back since he's been there or something like that. So I'm going Sooners.
The only shot that Texas has is if Matthew McConaughey gives another speech, because that dude's awesome.
Yeah. And he gives away the car. And he gives away the car afterwards.
Yeah, there you go.
I agree with you guys. Sooners, I think, rolling this one. Moving on, SEC matchup. Number 13, Georgia at number 23, Missouri. Ranked teams going down this one. Which one do you think it is, Tigers or Bulldogs?
Tigers. I like Todd Gurley to run over Missouri.
Yeah, Todd Gurley wants to stay in the Heisman race. He better do something. So he's got to put up or shut up. So I got to go with the Bulldogs on this one.
The only way that they can win is if Missouri just tells Matty Mock to do whatever he wants. And that still doesn't bound well because, like it's mentioned already, time of possession with Todd Gurley, Georgia is just going to dominate.
If Georgia plays like a Big Ten team, then they'll easily win.
I was really tempted to pick Missouri here, but I'll go with you guys. I think Georgia pulls it off. Gurley's just too good. I just don't see them losing with him. Unless he would get hurt, then I would give Missouri a chance, but Gurley, I think, will stomp them out. So Bulldogs roll. Big matchup, College Game Day, number 2, Auburn at number 3, Mississippi State. This is a pretty big matchup here, guys. Who are you liking this one, Bulldogs or Tigers?
I like Auburn on the road.
I still want Auburn to lose.
I'm going with Auburn. They've been really impressive.
I'm going with Auburn, too. I just think they have too much experience at the right positions.
I picked them last week. I'm going to pick them again. Mississippi State, I think, does it again. The magical run after this, though, I think Dak Prescott has a huge game. I don't think Auburn's really been tested this year. I don't really count the Kansas State game because I don't think they're that great of a team. But I think Mississippi State wins this game, and the Bulldogs' Cinderella run continues, but it'll end here eventually with the schedule they have. But
I think I'm going to agree with you on this one, Josh.
Great. I got somebody going with me. I'll remember it, too. moving on, number 3, Ole Miss, tied with Mississippi State, ironically, number 3 in the polls. They're at number 14, Texas A&M. Aggies are looking for a bounce back after being upset last week. Who do you guys like in this one, the Running Rebels, or do Donnie Manziel's old football team pull this one off?
Ole Miss is too physical along the defensive line for Texas A&M.
Yeah, Ole Miss will come off another huge run with the statement.
Stephen Hill's going to have a bounce-back game. He's going to tear him apart.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect, because I'm on the Bull Wallace train.
you went with you're going with Texas A&M, Shannon?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Me and you are going alone again. I think Texas A&M pulls this one off. Being at Texas A&M, I think their 13th man is going to pull through for him. I think Bo Wallace has a bad game after pulling off the big upset last week. I'm on the Kenny Hill train. I think the Aggies win this one.
That's his name, Kenny Hill. I don't know why I said the wrong name.
Now, I got to ask before we move on, are any of you guys on the Johnny Manziel train?
No.
No.
Okay.
Right now, yes. He's on the clipboard. He's holding the clipboard. He's perfect.
Good answer, Shannon. Moving on, number 12, Oregon, and number 18, UCLA. Big game in terms of the Pac-12 situation out there in the standings. Who do you guys like here, Bruins or Ducks?
Ducks bounce back.
Oregon bounces back harder here.
I'm going to go with UCLA. I think the defensive line is going to – that turnstile that Oregon puts in front of Mariota is not going to be enough to slow down UCLA.
I'm going to take the Ducks, and Ducks don't bounce back. They fly together. I don't know if you've seen the movie or not.
I'm going to have to go against you again, Joe. I'm going with UCLA. I think the Bears, the Bruins maul the Ducks in this game. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I just don't trust Oregon's offensive line. It's made of cardboard, and cardboard breaks pretty easily. So, I like the Bruins in this one.
So you're going to remember that I'm with you on this one, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'll remember that, Chip.
One mistake.
One more big matchup to discuss. Number 9 TCU at number 5 Baylor. Big top 10 matchup. Who do you guys like here, the Bears or the Horned Frogs?
I'm going Horned Frogs because the Bears haven't played anybody yet.
I completely agree. I think Baylor has feasted upon very weak competition in the first few games, and I just think Texas Christian, they really impressed me last week against Oklahoma. I think Texas Christian's more physical. They're better prepared for this, and I think they're going to take Baylor out.
Make note, Chip agrees with Shannon.
Exactly.
I'll take Baylor. I'm going to flip it around here. I have no reason to take Baylor, but I'm going to take Baylor.
And I'm controversial.
Who can argue with such logic?
I know.
Taking away my controversial tag away from me.
Excellent answer, Joe. I agree with you on this one. I think Baylor rolls for no reason whatsoever. This is a complete toss-up matchup. I don't know how this game's going to play out. It could be a blowout, could be a shootout, could be low scoring. I have no idea. I'll take Baylor in this one since it's a walk-o, I guess. So that wraps it up for our national games. Now as we wrap up the show here now. It was a great show, as always. You can find our podcast, of course, on your YouTube channel. We're doing live, of course, right now through Google Hangouts. And, of course, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Go to the website. There's a post up right now with a link to our iTunes page. Or you can go just to the search bar on iTunes and type in MOTSAG Live. Subscribe there. You can also subscribe on Android with Pocket Cast, correct, Shannon?
Yes.
Yeah, you can subscribe through there with that. Of course, go to minutescorethegrade.com for all of our posts, articles, and updates on podcasts. We have to thank you, Joe Dexter, for joining us. You were very entertaining. You had some great Michigan jokes, and we're very thankful to have you on.
You know, my mom tells me the best thing I do is make Michigan jokes, so, you know, I do what I do.
That's a great talent to have. I agree with your mom there. yeah, it was a great show. It was always entertaining. As we wrap it up, guys, any final thoughts?
I have an article that's going to be on the site on Friday, kind of grading every position group so far through the season. So look for it on menofthescarletandgray.com. And as always, feel free to offer comments on the website, or you can always tweet to me at Chip Minick, ChipMinnich. So that's at Chip Minick. So looking forward to hearing any and all comments or ideas on how you believe Ohio State has graded out so far this season.
And for me, I just like everybody to check out our podcast. It's the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. You can find it on iTunes. And thanks to Shannon, we have it on, what is it, Podcast Pocket? Whatever it is.
It's a Pocket Cast. It's an app for Android and iOS.
I felt like Joe Paterno when he tried to explain what Twitter was. Anyways, we have that, and you can check our great work at thebuckeyebattlecry.com, and it's always great to have Buckeye bros out there, and make sure you check out the great work at Men of the Scarlet and Gray, too, because they do a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't forget to check out Buckeye Battle Cry and check out Joe and his podcast, because that's Claire, right? That's
yep, who Claire Crawford.
Yeah, him and Claire do a great job on their podcast, so it's worth, definitely worth a great listen, and appreciate you coming on and joining us.
It was a blast, guys.
And also, one other thing I wanted to mention, Scott, before we all leave is I know that with the NFL and college football, everybody's, the breast cancer awareness, and breast cancer is, something serious. One thing that I like to start mentioning, especially at the end of our podcast, being a testicular cancer survivor myself, remember, guys, check your boys out once a month. Feel a lump, go to the doctor, get it checked out. Catch it soon enough, be lucky like me. Survive it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Shannon, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Great thing to throw in there at the end with breast cancer awareness and stuff. Great show as always, guys. thanks again to Joe. And, of course, we're going to play off how we always do with our favorite song. Joe, you're going to like this. Hit the music, Shannon. See you next week at 6 p.m. Eastern time, as always.
Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Go
Bucks,
guys. I-O! Everybody's getting fired soon.